Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
We are going to be in Romans chapter 8 today. Titled the message, Freedom from Fear. Last week focused more on a freedom from discouragement. So up to this point we've covered Galatians 5, which Paul said, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And then we went over to Romans. Romans and Galatians are very much the same, except for Romans there's a lot more content to it. But in Romans 7, Paul wrestles with the idea of freedom, that we can say that we are free, but really are we truly free unless we're able to do what we want to do? And often, even as believers or even in the secular world, we've all wrestled with the fact that if you're setting that new goal, you want to lose weight or you want to do this or that, you have these goals, you have these aspirations, intentions, but you don't follow through on it. Why? Because your human nature gets in the way, right? Whether it's laziness, whether it's just undisciplined, we all wrestle with that. So Paul says, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, that I do. Okay? And he goes through that wrestle with the sinful nature, and we talked about how we are not bound to our sinful nature, but we are bound to Christ. And so now we're in chapter 8. Last week we talked about suffering and how we deal with suffering in our world. And just think about the suffering that is present in our world, even just if you just take a look at this week, whether it's over in Israel and Palestine, whether it's in Iraq, Assyria, and Africa with the outbreak and the sickness with the Ebola. You look across our world, even just in Crete, Nebraska, and Wilbur, just the suffering maybe that you've come across this past week, just in talking to people at work or whatever the case may be. It can come in a lot of different forms. It can come in pain, sickness, relationship issues. It can come in a lot of different ways, things that are within our control, things that are not within our control. And so Paul talks about we are free from discouragement in this last part. Now, depending on the translation of Bible you have, the NIV breaks at verse 28. I think like the ESV and some of the others break at verse 30. Okay, those section headings are not inspired, okay? And even the chapter breaks aren't inspired. They're put there for our benefit so that we can help say, okay, this is where we're at. We're in Romans chapter 8 this morning, verse 28, and you can immediately go right there. They're for our benefit and to help us out. So they're not necessarily inspired. But we're going to pick it up where we talk about in Romans 8, 28. And it reminds me, this last part reminds me a little bit of a fireworks finale. All right? You ever... I don't know if you made it to the one in Crete. How many went to a fireworks display, whether it was at Crete or someplace? All right, and they shoot a couple off here and there. You know, they got the thing going. And then when they get to the end, that last couple minutes, it's like what? Right? It's just all of it's going off. And that's kind of what Paul does here. He's been going down, talking about how we're set free from our sinful nature, the hope we have in Christ, how the Spirit helps us. He's been talking about all these things. And at the end, then he just kind of throws it all in. He's shooting it all off, all right? And he's saying it all boils down together that when God is with us, we have nothing to fear. So he kind of just shoots it all off at the same time here. And he reminds us that we're free from sin, death, condemnation. So we'll get into that a little bit more. I don't know if you've heard the story about the man that was hiking and stuff. He was, I don't know if it was Grand Canyon or where it was, but got too close to the edge, falls over the cliff. Fortunately, there's that branch hanging out, and he grabs a hold of the branch, catches himself, and there he is. He's hanging, It's just nothingness down. You know, if he lets go and falls, he's done. Okay? So he's hanging there and he calls out. He says, "Is anybody up there?" And he gets a response back. "Yes, God." And he goes, "Help me." And God responds back, "Let go." And the man goes, "Is there anybody else up there?" Often we wrestle with giving God control of our lives. And I think Paul wants us to come to grips with the trust that we can have in God, even in the midst of suffering, difficulties, death, hardship. That's where the rubber meets the road. And if our faith doesn't work in those circumstances, really it's no different than any trust that people have in other things within our world. Okay? It has to be work at the pragmatic level where we can trust God even in the midst of fear and difficulties. So let's begin here in verse 28 through 30. Let's begin there, and then we'll pray. Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." Father, we thank you for your word. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts today. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. In this first part, Paul says, "I know that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." Now that works for good is a Greek word where we get our word synergy. Okay? You ever heard of that word synergy? And when we talk about it in a business sense, it means that there's that teamwork, you're all on the same page and you're brainstorming, and there's that momentum and all you're kind of all headed in the right direction. It's just not you going in one direction, but there's that energy that comes from everybody going in the right direction. You're all in sync, right? And you're all going in the right direction. Paul said in the same way that when we love God and we've committed our life to him, all things are sinking and working for what? For our benefit and for his glory. For our benefit and for his glory. And what you see in this is that Paul is saying, you know what, there's a bigger purpose and a bigger plan than what we can see. All right? All we can see is 2020 and we see what's in front of us. But see, God is seeing all the different aspects that are coming in of not just my life, but your life. And how those all weave together in the life and his purpose and his plan. And the beautiful thing is that when we entrust our lives to God, he is working all things for our benefit and for his glory. Because those he foreknew, and this kind of throws some people off, because God knows some people, there's theological differences over this about, you know, did God determine who's going to follow God and who's not? We can debate that all you want, okay? Okay, the key thing is that, do you know Christ? And you know what? I know enough to know that God, whether he determined it or not, he knew in advance who was going to serve him and who wasn't. And it doesn't mean that he's calling the shots. And what Paul realizes is that, yes, there's human free will, right? I make that choice to follow Christ. But there's also the sovereignty of God. And they work together. And you cannot separate those, folks. I don't think you can. You can say, you know what, I found God. No, you didn't. God found you. Right? Because if he hadn't extended his grace and his mercy, there is no way that you could have found God. Or made come to that place that you could accept Christ in your heart and life. There's the sovereignty of God. And I bet if every one of you just kind of took a note and said, you know what, I made a decision to follow Christ. But if we could find out how many had somebody that was praying for you that you would come to know Christ. The sovereignty of God. How God is working for our benefit. Paul says the ultimate goal is that we be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Not in physical resemblance, but in his attitude, in his nature, We talked about that. We're not bound to our sinful nature. We're bound to Christ and His nature. And how as the Spirit comes within us, that His nature, our nature is replaced by God's nature in us. And we begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience. All those good things. That is the ultimate goal, is that we be conformed to the likeness of His Son. And so those He's predestined, He's called. And those He's called, He's justified, declared righteous. And those He's justified, He'll be glorified. And that means we'll get to spend eternity with Him. The first point there, have you got it up there already? God is working for your benefit there. God is working for your benefit. I believe there's times that we see that God is working for our benefit. You know, we use that expression, right? Everything's just falling into place. Ever had those times? You pray about something, all of a sudden, boom. It's like the answer comes and everything falls into place. And we really sense God in the process, right? We think, man, God, You're in this. But there's other times that we say, whoa, God, You took a wrong turn. Right? We're riding in the back seat. He's in the front seat. He's the driver. We go, we don't like where this is heading. There's suffering, there's pain, there's difficulty. It doesn't look good. And so what do? We scramble to the front seat and we say, you know, get over, Holy Spirit. We're in the front seat. And we fight God for control because we don't like where things are going. Ultimately, we don't trust the hand of God, do we? And we fight God for control. And instead of trusting God, we are fearful of what is in front of us. We're fearful that God has forgot about us, that He's too busy, that somehow we've lost favor, His favor and love. And so we fight back for control. Instead, God wants us to trust Him, to not fear, but to understand, this is the truth, folks, that God is working for your benefit. If you have in the back of your mind that God is working against you, the minute difficulty comes or hardship comes, you're going to think, oh yeah, see, I knew God wasn't for me. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that God loves you with an unending love. And He's working all things for your benefit and for His glory. And if we can rest within us, that what does that do to fear? Yes. It's gone. And I wish, God's still working that in my own life, folks. And maybe some of you have a better handle on it than I do, but there's still times where I still doubt God's ways and His presence at times. I say, God, what are You up to? Why? Because I can't see, 2 seconds in front of my face. And often we sometimes assume the worst, don't we? That's good old human nature. We assume the worst. Instead of trusting God, we assume the worst. But God wants us to trust us, knowing that God is working for our benefit. Let's move on here, verse 31 through 37. Paul says, because of this, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay? He's asking a rhetorical question. No one, right? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with all of us, not only so, along with all of Him, okay, graciously give us all things? In other words, God was willing to put His Son on the line to die on the cross for your sin and my sin. If He was willing to do that, don't you think that He's willing to supply the other needs that you have within your own life? Yeah, those are a piece of cake compared to what He did and sending His Son on the cross. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies, declares righteous. Who is it that condemns? See, condemnation doesn't have any hold now because we've been justified in Christ. Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and He's interceding for us. So last week we said the Spirit is interceding for us, right? And in this, Paul says, now the Son of God is interceding for us. And in Hebrews 7:25, Hebrews really makes that case that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father as our high priest, making intercessions for the people of God. He's representing us before the Father. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to the slaughter. Knowing all these things, we are more than a conqueror through Him who loves us. And so when we understand what Paul is saying here, death, is that a threat to us? For those who are in Christ, what happens when you die? Yeah. You go into God's presence, right? Yeah. Condemnation. What happens when that comes knocking on your door? It doesn't stick, right? Why? Who took your condemnation? Jesus, when He went to the cross. When fear comes knocking on your door, all you have to do is say, hey, I'm on God's team. You know, it's kind of like having that big brother in the back, you know, that's like 300 pounds. And it's kind of like, you know, you get threatened, you say, hey, this is my brother, you know. It's kind of like. And it's not so much that God's on your team, and He is. But it's more that you're on God's team. And if you're on God's team, what can Satan bring against you? What can this world bring against you that's going to have any impact? Because nothing shall separate us from Christ. I think of... I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus is praying for us. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to be empowered. He wants us to be faithful. So through Christ, we are more than a conqueror. Through Christ, you are more than a conqueror. And if you feel defeated, I'm not going to lie, there's times I've felt defeated, there's times I've felt discouraged. But that is not from God, that is from the enemy, it's from Satan. He likes those lies. And he tells us, you know what, you're a failure, you've messed up, you're not doing any good. That's not from God. Through Christ, you're more than a conqueror. And it's these truths that why we need to get into God's Word is because we need to know His truth. Because if we don't know His truth, then we are susceptible to the lies of the enemy. Right? When you know the truth, then you can say, when the enemy comes in and says, you know what, you're no good, you failed, you messed up, and you can say, no. God's Word says that I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Right? That's the truth. And we have to live our life based on the truth. Otherwise, you're kind of like, woo, all over the place, like that ship that's being tossed by the waves, right? Seasick, you're all over the place. One day you're feeling good, next day you're down in the dumps. When we live our lives on the truth, there's a solid foundation that is built under us that we can build our life upon. All right. 38 and 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present or future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this part really talks about the security of the believer, that nothing can rip us out of the hand of God. Death, angels, powers, nothing can rip you out of God's hand. And I think of, we had Mary. Is Mary? She's in the nursery. But we had her over at our house this week. And most infants go through a stage where they get separation anxiety, right? Okay? It's kind of like, I'm with somebody else, and it's not my mom or my dad, and they kind of freak out a little bit, okay? But they usually, it's a period of time within their life, and then they mature through that. They grow through it. They find out, oh, it's okay. But we go through separation anxiety too as believers. That there's times where because we don't see God, we kind of freak out. Go, the enemy's coming in. We flip out, right? We get anxious. We get fearful. We get up in that front seat. We try to take the controls. And God wants us to trust in His presence and know that He is there with us, even when we cannot see Him with our human eyes, and sometimes even when we can't sense Him. That's when we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And we walk by His truth, knowing that He is there with us, that nothing can separate us. And that's the final point, that nothing can separate you from God. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from God. I think of, I'm going to have the musicians come. I think of the father that was praying for his son, bedtime prayer, you know, at night. And as he comes to tuck him in and to pray with them, the thunderstorm is moving in. It's raining outside, the wind's blowing, you know, and you see the branches blowing in the window. It's kind of a little bit of a, you know, a little bit scary. And the lightning's flashing, rumbling, shaking the house. And the boy's scared. And so the father prays for the boy and says, you know what? Just assures him, Jesus is with you. And you'll be all right. Jesus is with you. And he prays with them. And the boy says, you know what? I know Jesus is with me, but right now I need a Jesus with skin on, doesn't it? He needed that physical presence. There's times in our own life, even as mature adults, that we know that God's there, but we still like that physical presence, don't we? Sometimes that comes through a friend, a brother and sister in Christ that is there with us. And sometimes they have faith and encouragement when we are lacking in our faith. That's why the body of Christ is important. Because we need each other. But as we grow and mature in Christ, we learn that even when we can't sense His presence like we sometimes do, that God is there with us. And Paul had those moments where in the Philippian jail, he's thrown in jail because they delivered a woman from a demonic spirit and for sharing Christ. And so he's thrown in jail, they're whipped, they're flogged. Those are times that you doubt, God, are you working all things for my good and for your glory? Right? Shipwrecked. They're on a stormy seas, and for days they're tossed in this storm. Probably a hurricane is what it was, tropical storm. They finally end up on the island of Malta. They have to swim to shore because the ship breaks up. But even there, God, we think, God, how are you going to use that? And they start a fire and to dry off, and Paul gets bit by a poisonous viper. And instead of falling over, nothing happens to him. He ends up witnessing and praying for people on that island that needed healing touch, and they were healed. And the gospel spread on the island of Malta. And so, things aren't always as they appear through our physical eyes. We're more than conquerors. And see, Paul isn't just writing some grandiose statements here to get our hopes up. These are all things that he had experienced firsthand. And he had to work through in his own life and battle things out to know that, you know what, God is with me. He is working all things for my good and for His glory. And that nothing, and Paul went through a lot. He says, you know what, nothing can separate us from those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Victor and Yolanda are going to join me. Gil and Emily are going to join me. Maybe you just need prayer, someone to join you in prayer this morning, maybe about the message. And I pray that the truth that we've covered this morning, that becomes a reality within your own life. It's one thing to know it up here. It's another thing to know it in here and to walk it out in our life. To know the peace that comes from trusting God God has not given us a spirit of fear, he told Timothy, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. All right? So we're here. We're going to agree with you. But I encourage you just to, as they sing this chorus, How He Loves, just to enter and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and your life. And if you want us to agree in prayer, please find one of us. And let's just look to the Lord and allow the Spirit to speak to us this morning.